Welcome to the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are now going to move into confirmation. We have three of the most amazing kids ever going to be up here to be confirmed. So I'd like to ask them to come forward. Steve Eldridge has done an amazing job in getting them ready. We have Bryce Flickner joining us this morning. Bryce plays basketball, soccer, football. Right? And he's been through confirmation. He says he's really comfortable with his faith and what the church stands for, and he likes the collaborative efforts of West Valley and the Presbyterian denomination, and he learned a lot in confirmation. And Josh Pasquinelli is joining us this morning. He plays soccer too, and you said you learned a lot in confirmation. And the thing that Josh said was that in confirmation, he learned more about how God works in people's lives. And so that was something that he wanted me to share with you this morning. And then Kayla Drew Bonzer, there she is. I'm glad you waved there because I'm not sure people would have known who you were. And Kayla actually plays the guitar. She has a reputation for walking everywhere. You use your feet and that is good. And what Kayla does is every morning, every Sunday morning, she walks to church on her own. And she comes to church by herself most of the time, right? And you found it a real blessing. So we're so glad to welcome you this morning, Kayla. And these confirmants have gone through these questions. They understand them, but we want to ask them publicly now in front of all of you so you can witness their faith that they're proclaiming this morning as their own. This is not their parents' faith anymore. This is their own faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you the questions now, okay? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess your need for the forgiveness of sins, and with a humble and contrite heart, put your whole trust in the mercy of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord? Do you promise to make diligent use of the means of grace, to continue in the peace and the fellowship of the people of God, and with the aid of the Holy Spirit to be Christ's faithful disciple to your life's end? Do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation, endorsing its form of government, participating in its ministry, supporting its mission, and seeking the fellowship of other Christians wherever you may be? Good. And Steve, you have a question.
So you guys aren't alone here. The congregation out here has a responsibility too. So do you, the members of this congregation, in the name of the whole Church of Christ, promise to welcome and encourage these members so that together we might grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ? Do we?
And Kayla has requested to be baptized this morning because she's not received that sacrament yet. So Kayla, would you come forward, please? Do you desire to be baptized?
I do.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, she said. Kayla Drew Bonzer, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for these, your children, who have confessed their faith to you this morning and to all of us. We thank you for their hearts that they have asked you in, that you are their Lord and Savior now, and that you have set them apart for a purpose and a plan that is beyond their wildest dreams. I pray that you would walk with them. I pray that you would become more and more real for them throughout their journey. I pray, Lord, that you would protect them from the evil one and that you would anoint them with your Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that you would bless them in every way and help all of us as your church to follow them, to be with them, to pray for them and support them. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity we have of receiving them into this family of faith. Be with us all now and bless them. And everyone said, amen. Would you welcome them, please? And Matt has a gift for you. Okay. you. Okay. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. We've already learned that this is a very special Sunday. You got to see the confirmands join the church, and we're so happy to have them. And Nate's been telling us about the wonderful music program some of you are in. And we saw Caleb being baptized. There are just two more really significant things that are different today. One of them you'll see behind you on the communion table, which the adults and members of the church will have later. But now, I get to do something really, really fun. Mrs. McCormick, my wonderful helper, and I, Mrs. McCormick, how many of you know Mrs. McCormick? She's either been your teacher or is your teacher now. I think that should be almost all of you. Anyway, Mrs. McCormick and I have been teaching a class to 12 students to help them prepare to get their Bibles from the church. And as we did that, we did some very special things and used some special things. And Mrs. McCormick's going to hold up for me some things, and I want to see if you know what they are. Okay, first things. What is that? Does anybody know? Okay, Kale. A scroll. Okay. Well, why do we have a scroll for our class? Because we learned that many of the early Bibles were written on scrolls, and then they were buried, and archaeologists dug them up. And so, to help us, well, let's see, the first one, let's have the one that's the old, old one. This one has the Bible, parts of it, written in Greek. Now, I couldn't exactly read that yet. I took 1 year of Greek. That wasn't enough. But we're very excited because it's very old and very delicate. But the other one, we'll hold that up so everybody can see it. Some of the kids made a scroll in the class, and they wrote their favorite Bible verse on it. And then we buried it. We put it in a pot, and we buried it. Who do you think is going to dig that one up? Okay, so maybe some archaeologists will find that one. And then, next thing, what is this big thing that she's holding up here? Who knows what this is? What is that? Yes. It's a moon. Well, that's a strange thing, isn't it, to have in the class? Well, many years ago, I learned some very important Bible facts, interesting things for kids, so I made a list of them. One of the things was that if you took all the Bibles in the world, they could stack and put them end for end, they could stack to the moon twice and back. Well, that was a few years ago. I don't know how many times it could go now. So guess what? I put the moon up on the ceiling, and we have this fake Bible. But we did stack them to the moon and back to help us remember that the Bible is the most important book. It's the number one bestseller in the whole world every year. Okay. And then the children learned some favorite Bible verses and some stories, and we put them on a tape recorder because I don't know how to do it on a CD. But my good friend Parker Willie took all the kids' tapes and put them on a CD. So now everybody in the class has a CD of what everybody learned. And they can keep it forever and remember how smart they were when they were in the third, fourth, and fifth grade. Also, the next thing is this plaque. I made this Plaster of Paris plaque for each kid. Can you read what it says on it? Anybody see what it says? Can you read it? Kind of small print. Can you guys read it? What does it say? Go ye. Go ye. And on the back of this plaque is one of the most important Bible verses from the book of Matthew. It's the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And in it, he said, And this is a command, or it's called the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and teach all the nations. And that's an order for us, too. And sometimes we have missionaries that go and help us do that. And then the second and the last line, which is the most important line for us, he said, Jesus says, and lo, I am with you always. And that means all of you. Now what I'd like to do is to present the Bibles to my class that have worked very hard. This is the best part. Elizabeth Eber. God bless you as you read this Bible. Claire Flickner. God bless you. Rain Kesey. Troy Mita. Congratulations and blessings to all of you. Jesse Mita. Joey Schaefer. Kind of crowded up here today. Move down just a little bit, guys. Emma Shaw. Jacob Sneed. God bless both of you. Allison Tong. Jacob Wee.
Thank you, Pat.
Blessings on you. And Julia E. I want you to congratulate this absolutely wonderful class. See, they really love you. Pastor Kim is going to close us in prayer.
Let's pray together. Lord God, what a joy it is to see all these children up here learning about the Bible and those that have gone through Pat's class this past year and have learned how to read the Bible. We just pray that you would bless each one of those kids who are holding a Bible right now. May they learn how powerful your word is and how inspired it is to bless them and to help them to grow in a deeper knowledge of you and also to learn more and more how much you love them. So bless them as they learn about the Bible and as they read the Bible. Keep them safe in your care. And thank you so much for the opportunity to celebrate them this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please bow your heads and be in an attitude of prayer? Heavenly Father, we gather here today to worship you, to praise, learn, and grow in our faith. We thank you for this church community where we can help each other become closer to you. In particular this morning, we are thankful for the new confirmands. We know that their faith has been taken to a new level today, and we ask you to bless them as they continue down the path that you have chosen for them. May they become part of the next generation of great leaders in the church. We pray for the church and its members, for good health and safety, and for guidance in struggles. We ask for continued recovery of Grace Johns after her recent surgery, and ask for your healing for all who are sick. We know that no one has a perfect life, but we know that you do not give anyone any more than they can handle. Please give our members joy in good times, strength in hard times, and the spirit of willingness to help those in need. Please give our leaders the discernment to make decisions that will help better the church. We ask for the peace of mind to know that it is all part of your plan. We pray for the upcoming events this summer, for houseboats and VBS. We pray that leaders show your love and that the young people attending these events find their lives changed and or their faith renewed. Keep all who are traveling this summer in your care. Lord, in our busy lives, may we not forget the rest of the world, many of whom are not as fortunate as we are. We pray for the recovery from natural disasters, such as the tornado in Oklahoma. We pray for the leaders of the world that they would do what is best for all people and work to resolve conflicts peacefully. Lastly, we thank you for the Music Sunday concert that is to take place this evening. Many people have worked hard to put together the musical pieces, and we ask that they serve to glorify your name. May we stir the hearts of those attending and make a joyful noise in your name. And now, would you all join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thanks. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. So, for those of you who might not know, we've been doing a series on the movie Les Mis, and today's the last day of it. The song that the choir sang is the last song in the Les Mis musical. It's a song of victory and triumph and celebration, and we've certainly had a lot to celebrate here this morning, haven't we? With the youth and the children and the Bibles and the baptism, all this good stuff. And so I think it's very fitting that we close the this time with a sense of celebration. Also, because we had confirmation this morning, my sermon, my talk this morning is geared toward those confirmants, towards those youth who asked Christ to be their Lord and Savior on their own. Well, I want to start out with a story about a man named George Wilson. George Wilson was a criminal. In fact, George Wilson made it his career to be a criminal. He was indicted on 6 counts of obstructing and robbing the U.S. mail and threatening bodily harm to a U.S. mail carrier. He didn't like the mailman. In fact, he actually wounded him. This happened a long time ago, though. It happened back in the 1830s when Andrew Jackson was president. And back then, such a violent assault was cause for the death penalty. Around that time, too, though, just like now, people protested the death penalty. So Andrew Jackson decided to, prompted by the protest, decided to allow George Wilson to have a pardon, to forgive him. Well, that sounds like a good idea, and I would think most people would be truly relieved. If you or I were a George Wilson, we'd probably jump up and say, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." But George Wilson, the career criminal, refused to accept that pardon. Things got so complicated because his response was so unprecedented that the case was referred to the Supreme Court, which ruled the following. A pardon, they said, is an act of grace, which exempts the individual on whom it is bestowed from the punishment the law inflicts for a crime he has committed. A pardon is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered, and if it be rejected, we have discovered no power in a court to force it on him. It may be supposed that no being condemned to death would reject a pardon, but the rule must be the same in capital cases and in misdemeanors. Further, Chief Justice John Marshall purportedly pronounced that the value of a pardon, I quote, must be determined by the receiver. It has no value apart from that which the receiver gives it. Therefore, George Wilson must die. He didn't receive the pardon. It has no value apart from the receiver. And I have no idea about George Wilson, why he didn't accept that pardon. Seems a little strange to me. Accept the grace given to him. I have no clue about that. But because he did not, he was subsequently executed for his crime. The pardon issued by the President of the United States had no value for him unless he received it. It was null and void. Now, why did I tell you this story? Because the three confirmants who were just confirmed this morning have done the exact opposite of what George Wilson did. You have made the most important choice of your life. You have made the most important choice of your life as you stood here this morning because it is a choice that will last for all eternity, not just for this world. And that choice is to say yes to God's pardon, to say yes to God's grace, because we all need it. We've all messed up. We're all sinners, right? Said yes to accept the gift of forgiveness and eternal life given freely to you through Jesus Christ by acknowledging him as your Lord and Savior. If you had been like George Wilson and rejected this free gift of grace and mercy, God's gift to you in Jesus Christ would have no value for you because a pardon, as I read before, is not complete without acceptance. That's what they said in 1830 back in the court. That's true for what Christ did for us today. Your choice, your decision to choose for Christ is all important. And that's all God asks of us. An open door, a willing heart. A yes, you can come in, choice on your part. And when that happens, all of heaven rejoices because suddenly the pardon, the grace, the love of God for you can become activated in your life. Now, I'm not sure if this is a good story. I'm going to tell you. I don't think this is a good sermon illustration, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's kind of cool. But it's like those little dried out towels that you get in those little cellophane packs, right? You can buy them and they're all wrapped up and they look like nothing. You know, they're all dried out. But when you add water to that little dry cube thing, suddenly it starts to move and it morphs. It becomes a towel. That little dry cube becomes a towel just because you add water to it, right? You can tell me afterwards if you think this was a bad illustration. But anyway, your choice of yes to Christ is like putting water on that towel. You morph then into who Christ meant you to be. Your purpose. You don't stay dried out. And God is love, so he's not going to force his grace on you. He will not do that. Okay? You have to choose. God's love won't force it on you. His tremendous respect for you. You must choose. And the three confirmants, you have chosen. And that's why we celebrate today. That's why it's so wonderful. And just so you know, as I said before, all the heavenly host is rejoicing as well. I think the heavenly host, the angels sit on the edge of their seat and they look down and they say, say yes. Choose. Come on. You can do it. It's a free gift. Receive the pardon. It's right there. Do it. You heard the choir sing this morning. It was a song of victory, and it's, as I said, the last song in Les Mis. The title is Do You Hear the People Sing? But maybe if we change the words a little bit, Do You Hear the Angels Sing? Might be more appropriate for this morning. Singing a song of victory. That's what's happening right now. And there's a line in that song that says, they will live again in freedom in the garden of the Lord. They will walk behind the plowshare. They will put away the sword. And that last part about the plowshare, and the sword is actually a direct quote from Scripture. In other words, we're walking behind it. We don't have to try so hard. Right? We're walking behind it. We put away this, so we don't have to fight. We don't have to do it on our own. Right? Because our relationship with God has been restored in the garden, just like in Eden. We're back in the garden now. Our relationship with God has been restored through Jesus Christ. There's a lot of theological profundity in Les Mis and the words there. But we're back in Eden, walking with God in closeness and in joy. And that's what that song is all about. Because Les Mis is all about grace. That's why I love that musical so much. So then, we've been given this gift of grace. We say yes to it. We pour water in that dry towel. We begin to morph. But then what happens? Now what do we do after we say yes to Jesus Christ? How should we then live? What happens next? Do we kind of do nothing? We kind of know we're sort of going to heaven. We've received Christ, so we kind of float away. Or does becoming a Christian really mean that now we don't swear during sports games and we don't take drugs and we don't drink and we don't steal stuff from stores, we don't go out and kill people, you know? Does it mean we don't do those things? Is that what being a Christian means? That we become nice, respectable folks? Well, in one way, you think about it, that's kind of true, because what happens is the Holy Spirit's supposed to fulfill us in ways that nothing else can, so we don't have to engage in destructive actions and things that bring us death. But saying yes to Christ is so much more than not doing certain bad things. And it really has nothing at all to do with being a good church person or a good church kid at all. You know what it has to do with? It has everything to do with growing in our love for God and recognizing what we can do now that we have said yes and then are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's all about looking up to God and saying, wow, you would pardon me? You'd give me that pardon? God of the universe? You want me to partner with you to make a difference in the world? You God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you want to forgive me and be in relationship with me? How exciting that is. How amazing. I am yours. Show me, Lord, how I can make a difference on this sorry planet for your glory. If you think about Jean Valjean in the movie, once he received the grace of God that was shown to him when the bishop forgave him, he said a new story must begin now. He becomes a gracious person because he received grace. He received the forgiveness. He adopts a child. He saves his child's fiance. He does all kinds of gracious things. He changed. He became grace to others. And that's what we're called to do when we say yes to Christ. We have these core values, by the way, that define our church. I'm just going to remind you all of them because they were put in place several years ago. And they are as follows. They have some pretty extreme descriptive words in front of them. The first one's intentional faith development, radical hospitality, risk-taking mission and service, extravagant generosity, passionate worship. Those are the five core values that define our church. And why are they so extreme? Why do we need to say it in such a strong way? Because that's the kind of God we worship. God has been extravagant, intentional in seeking us, risk-taking in showing his love for us, passionate, radical in the ways that he's reached out to us. And he tells us, make a difference, not by just refraining from doing bad stuff or doing what is reasonable, but make a difference by going above and beyond with grace. That's the message of Les Mis, and that's the message of the gospel. Live generously. Take the risk to love beyond what is reasonable. Reach out and be radical about it because people need it. Be passionate about the gospel. Don't just live like everyone else does. Be an intentional, radical, risk-taking, extravagant, passionate difference maker in my name. And I will strengthen you. I'll be there for you every step of the way. I will uphold you. You can trust me. You know, the Christian life is so exciting. It isn't boring at all when you live it the right way. It's way fun, and it keeps you totally on the edge of your seat. Now, I may have shared this before with you, but have any of you ever gone on that Jurassic Park ride at Universal Studios? Who's done that? oh man, you haven't lived. We got a majority of people here that have not gone on that ride. Well, what happens is you get in this boat, all right, and you're in this waterway, and the gates open, and the Jurassic Park theme music starts to play, and you go down through this waterway, and the Tyrannosaurus Rexes are there, and all those other things, and they're eating seaweed, and they're, you know, they're mechanical, and you're just going through this beautiful place, and you know they're kind of mechanical, and you say, oh yeah, this is cute, and everything. And then you go up this incline, click, 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 you know, that click, 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 all the way up to the top. And all of a sudden, what shocks you out of your mind, or shocked me, maybe nobody else was shocked, you look up and there's this enormous, I think it was a Tyrannosaurus Rex, right, it is, you've been, okay, right up, hovering above you and his jaws open. And you think you're going to be gobbled alive. And so you're just shocked, you're face coming right down at you. Really scary. Scared me. Looked up. And then lo and behold, it ends up being okay. You know why? Because all of a sudden you shoot down this incline and the water splashes and you're safe. Imagine that. I totally love that ride because at the end, I was completely surprised by that drop. I didn't expect it. It looked like I was going to be eaten alive. I wasn't. I was thrilled. I had the time of my life. Dare I say the Christian life is like that? I'm making a transition. But it's full of surprises, full of excitement, because as you are being passionate, extravagant, risk-taking, and generous, and sharing the gospel, trusting a God you know is there, but you can't see, so you're not quite sure. You get clues along the way. You read the scripture. You stay in fellowship with other Christians. You do what you're feeling led to do. You take those risks. You're not living just, you're not keeping the status quo, you're living on the edge by being extravagantly generous, living in grace. You wait, you watch, God comes through for you every time. And sometimes it's at the last minute. Sometimes God comes through for you in a way that you had not planned or expected. But it's wonderful because you find out that God is always there and will be faithful to you no matter what, if you diligently seek Him. And if you love Him with all your heart. So that's why, after Paul does this profound analysis of grace in Romans 8, please read Romans 8 if you haven't yet, he comes up with these practical ways to live that Matt read this morning. Be devoted to one another. Let love be genuine. Never lack in zeal. Bless those who persecute you. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's pretty radical. Anybody feed their enemy this past week? Give it a try. Anybody overcome evil with good this past week? That's extravagant generosity when you do that. Finally, last thing, God's grace will lead you home. If you're gracious, you trust God's grace, He'll lead you through it all. When you live this way and you do fail and you mess up, and we all will, I know I have, and you get discouraged, God is there with grace for you again. And the world of sports provides a beautiful picture of God's grace. We see it when the sportscasters, you know, they show highlight reels of our favorite athletes from years gone by. And in the editing process, you know what they do? They extract the mistakes, the fumbles, the strikeouts, the missed shots. Instead, every time someone shoots the ball, they make the basket, right? Or they hit the ball and make the home run. And if all you knew about these legends was what you saw from a highlight reel, you'd think they'd never missed a shot. And that's a picture of how our lives will be remembered by the Lord. By God's grace, we are promised that our sins will not be remembered. God will edit them all out. In Isaiah 43:25, we read, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Why wouldn't someone say yes to God's pardon then? His gift of eternal life and grace and forgiveness. Why wouldn't someone want to be extravagant, generous, passionate, when you have a God who's faithful to you in all things? I honestly don't see how people live their lives without the mercy and grace and forgiveness of Jesus and the hope of eternal life. What a gift His pardon is. But the three of you that have said yes to Him today, and receive grace upon grace. I just challenge you to grow in your love for Scripture, delve into Christian community, and God bless you in your journey as you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And may you be blessed to go on the ride of your life, serving Him radically, passionately, not afraid to take risks, serving Him intentionally and with extravagant grace. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you that the angels are rejoicing this morning. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to be with us. Those of us who have been Christians for a long time, Lord, who made this decision quite a while ago to receive you into our lives. Lord, spark that flame again in us. Give us your Holy Spirit so that we can be anointed not to just be nice folks and keep the status quo, but to be extravagant in grace, Lord, because you have shown extravagant grace to us. Thank you for this church. And as we partake in your supper now that you provided for us, this means of grace, and some will be partaking of it for the first time this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to receive it prayerfully, penitently, and aware of your great love for us that promises us grace and forgiveness whenever we come to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you receive me and you show forth the Lord's death until I come again." So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. All who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to receive these elements this morning. And we ask that as you receive them, you take the bread individually as a sign of your individual relationship with Jesus Christ. And then when you take the cup, you hold it, and we'll all take it together at the end as a sign that we are a community of faith, that we're supporting and praying for one another, and that together as a community, we are the body of Christ. So these are the gifts of God for the people of God. And as you partake this morning, be aware of God's great grace to you. Receive his pardon and receive it gratefully. The blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Let's drink together. God does bring us restoration. That's why we gather together. I hope you've been blessed during this worship service this morning. You know, we have prayers that are always up here. Would love to pray for you. That's another way God restores us in him. If you have a prayer request for yourself or a loved one, Sharon's up here. I don't know if there's somebody else coming, but we usually have two people up here to pray. Please avail yourself of the opportunity to receive confidential prayer. Also, as I said before, if you're a visitor, we have a gift for you out there. Don't leave without your free gift. And if you find out what it is and you don't like it, take it anyway. Makes us feel good. And then tonight, intercessory prayer. I don't think it's in the bulletin, so just heads up on this. If you have a special prayer request and you'd like people to surround you in prayer, lay hands on you or not, but pray for you, we have people who have been trained in intercessory prayer who will be here in room 15 to pray for you at 6 p.m. So come on over. They would love to have you there and pray for you for whatever you may need today. God is with you all. His grace is sufficient. Now may the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God go with you today and in this week. Amen.